The Writer's Almanac podcast is supported by Split Rock's online mentoring for writers program, providing one-on-one assistance with creative writing projects at cce.umn.edu/write. And by Poetry Magazine, for over 90 years, a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org. And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 10th of December, 2008. It was on this day, 1950, William Faulkner received the Nobel Prize for Literature. He got a call from a Swedish correspondent in New York. Faulkner was working on his farm in Oxford, Mississippi. He said that he would not travel to Sweden to accept the prize, saying, "It's too far away. I'm a farmer down here, and I can't get away." But all of Faulkner's friends and relatives pleaded for him to go. So did other writers and editors. Agent, he resisted. Finally, his wife devised a plan. Faulkner's only daughter, Jill, asked for a trip to Europe as a graduation gift. Wanted to go to Stockholm and then go to Paris. And Faulkner gave in. He was a terrible alcoholic at the time, and his wife came up with a scheme to make sure he'd be sober by the time they had to leave. So she came into his room on Friday and told him it was already Monday and time to start sobering up. So he started to space out his drinks until afternoon, when he figured out that he'd been tricked and he got drunk for 3 more days. He flew to New York with his daughter, went to a party there where he drank Jack Daniels and came down with a fever, and by Friday he and his daughter had made it to Sweden. He'd been working on his speech on the flight over. And on the day of the big ceremony, he told the American ambassador he'd never given a speech before and that he was afraid. Faulkner went to the Nobel Prize ceremony wearing a tuxedo with a white bow tie. He was unshaven, and he was wearing his old trench coat, which was ragged and stained with oil. At the formal dinner, he gave his speech, but he didn't stand close enough to the microphone, so nobody in the room was able to understand what he said. But when the speech was printed in the newspapers the next day, people realized what a fine speech he had given. He said, "The young man or woman writing today has forgotten the problems of the human heart in conflict with itself, which alone can make good writing, because only that is worth writing about, worth the agony and the sweat. He must learn them again. He must teach himself that the basest of all things is to be afraid, and teaching himself that, forget it forever, leaving no room in his workshop for anything but the old verities and truths of the heart, the universal truths lacking which any story is ephemeral and doomed. Love and honor and pity and pride and compassion and sacrifice." And it's the birthday of the poet Emily Dickinson, born in Amherst, Massachusetts, 1830, who spent most of her adult life in her corner bedroom in her father's house, a room with a writing table, a dresser, a Franklin stove, a clock, a ruby decanter, and pictures on the wall of the writers George Eliot, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and Thomas Carlyle. She wrote her poems on scraps of paper, old grocery lists, compiled her poetry, tucked it away in a desk drawer, started bundling the poems into little packets of folded paper, and eventually wrote more than 1,700 poems. In 1862 alone, 366, about one per day. Emily Dickinson, who said, "To live is so startling, it leaves little time for anything else." Here's a poem by Emily Dickinson on her birthday, entitled Farewell. "Tie the strings to my life, my lord, then I'm ready to go. Just to look at the horses, rapid, that will do. Put me in on the firmest side, so I shall never fall, for we must ride to the judgment, and it's partly downhill. But never I mind the bridges, and never I mind the sea, held fast in everlasting race by my own choice and thee. Goodbye to the life I used to live and the world I used to know, and kiss the hills for me just once. Now I am ready to go." Emily Dickinson's poem, Farewell. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, partners with the National Endowment for the Arts in Poetry Out Loud, a national recitation contest for high school students. More information at poetryfoundation.org. Written by Margaret Bain. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.